I'm very thankful that the Justice Department has filed a civil antitrust lawsuit in District Court Chicago blocking the purchase of National Beef Packing Company by JBS. It was a long time coming to have the antitrust division recognize that there's too much concentration in agriculture. This will enhance my respect for a Justice Department understanding of agriculture to some extent, although I still think that they don't pay enough attention to agriculture. The trend in concentration increases the ability of larger companies to engage in predatory business behavior, limits buying and selling options for farmers, and results in higher prices and fewer product choices for consumers. With this step, by going to court, it's obviously in the right direction. I want to see ag competition issues stay on the Justice Department's radar screen, particularly with rising costs of food worldwide. The Justice Department cannot let these issues be neglected like they have in the past, at least past 10 years, while some of us wrote letters and raised cane every way we could think of. The reality is that every American family pays for reduced market opportunities, anti-competitive business practices, and excessive consolidation in agriculture. That's why the decision by the Antitrust Division to block the proposed merger and acquisition is a positive first step. I'll continue, as I always have, to prod federal antitrust enforcers to be vigilant about keeping the agricultural sector of our economy as competitive as we can. Questions, and you call the names, Jill.
Tom Stever, Brownfield.
Nothing right now, sir.
Thank you. Dan Skelton.
Good morning, Senator. Smithfield was left out of the ruling by the Justice Department. Any comment on that?
Well, obviously, I felt that that ought to be investigated and stopped the same way that I did National. Since it isn't, then I'm left under the present law, unless the law has changed, and, you know, antitrust laws haven't been changed very much in the last 110 years. And maybe they don't need to be changed, but enforcement's more of a problem as far as I'm concerned. So I'm stuck with saying that I think Justice Department was wrong, but I haven't read their rationale, so I can't speak specifically about it. But as I said, it's very heartening that they moved ahead on National.
And if I could follow that with another one, do you see that sentiment spilling into other areas of agriculture, say into the seed industry?
No, I don't. I'm kind of pessimistic about things like that because I've written so many letters, and I don't know what my batting average is, but I don't want to declare that it's very high. But I do remember, Cargill taking on Continental, and they did merge. But prior to the merger, I had written a similar letter, and we did get them to have Continental sell some of theirs before the merger went through to other competitors, because there was something about that merger that was anti-competitive. And there may be others, but over a period of the years that I've been in the Senate and probably 15 years of writing letters like I've just referred to, you know, if there's more than these two, they don't come to mind.
Gene Luke.
Chris Clayton. Stacia Cudd. Ken Root.
Good morning, Senator. I want to stay on this issue and back up a little ways. Initially, were you surprised to see Justice step up and file this suit after the consolidations that we've seen really in the last 2 years, beginning with Swift?
Of course I am. And I think I've expressed that it's one of these things that I'm shocked, you know.
Well, why is it that they file the suit now, has there been a change in the tide because of the showing by businesses that they left unchecked would move into predatory practices?
I don't think that time should be a factor. I think these mergers take a long time. Look at in another area, Northwest going in with Delta. That started back in February or March, and it looks like it's going to happen. But there's still regulatory bodies that are working on it. So I don't think you should be cynical about time. I think it's legitimate to be cynical about the attitude of Justice Department in a lot of mergers, and even being more cynical about mergers in agriculture, because I don't think they understand agriculture. But I don't think time would be the determining factor about cynicism.
What about percentage? Did this finally move across a certain percentage control that Justice had already put up in previous times that we didn't know about?
I don't think they have a black and white line on this, and I don't think you can. Quite frankly, you know, I'm not an antitrust lawyer, but there is some argument in a globalized economy that some mergers of companies in the United States that might look anti-competitive and reducing competition, that because of the global economy we're in, they would be justified based upon international competition, and actually a merger ending up us making, quite frankly, maybe more benefit to the consumer than without a specific merger.
What
but in this case, I think that it's very clear that when one company controls close to 40% of a market, and that a market that tends to be very domestic and less global, that it's a case that the merger shouldn't have gone through.
One more area, and that is, do you think they have brought this forward because JBS is not an American company?
I don't think so, but I don't know for sure. Because I don't think Justice has to respond and is responding to the movement towards protectionism in American in the American economy and in the political sphere. I think they can be very standoffish and look at things very in an unbiased way, in the sense of interference from politics. I don't mean in an unbiased way. I think they have a bias favoring mergers, but that's not necessarily an expression of the political winds here in the United States right now.
Dan Looker.
Good morning, Senator. Last week, Secretary of Agriculture Ed Schaefer said that USDA Rural Development may have to help some ethanol plants recover from speculative losses when corn prices were very high last summer. And I just wondered if you're hearing much about that issue, if you expect to see a wave of financial collapse in the ethanol industry, and if so, if you think USDA Rural Development loans and grants will be enough to stop it.
Well, I don't know to what extent. I know to what extent we might give some sort of loans to start out a plant. I don't know to what extent we give loans to rescue people from a financial situation. And there have been some governmental help in some of these ethanol plants. I am not hearing this except in the area of biodiesel. And that was because of $15 beans more than anything else. And I heard a lot of that last summer. Not so much with ethanol plants, because ethanol plants that were functioning were going ahead. Ethanol plants that were not started up, their startup was delayed. I think, though, that some of those are now operational, as I recall. So you get back then to one problem that ethanol plants have had, and that was playing the futures market. When I say playing it, they were doing it to protect themselves. So they were buying corn at $8, and corn drops, and they're stuck with making up on the board the additional the additional deficiency. And those plants are in trouble, but I haven't heard that they need help. I have heard of possible mergers, and I think that the mergers, though, that you're going to be hearing about in the future are related to the 30 million and 40 million gallon operations that may tend to be less efficient, because you see most of the ethanol plants going up now are 100 million, 110 million gallons, and some, I think in some instances, even more than that, and particularly maybe smaller plants that are not near railroads that are going to be having problems and may have mergers, but I don't think it's got anything to do with shutdowns.
Tom Ryder.
Good morning, Senator. Senator, back on the Department of Justice suit, does this give impetus to future anti-concentration legislation and possibly strengthening of antitrust laws?
Well, there's only one area where I can think of right now that Congress is dealing with anti-competitive legislation, and that deals with railroads, and but it doesn't deal with the merger railroads. It deals with the captive shipper sort of environment that sometimes people find themselves in on railroads. There's been a lot of hearings by Senator Cole and before Senator Cole by other senators that served as chairman of that antitrust subcommittee that that have held hearings to make sure that the laws were being enforced. But I haven't heard of a lot of changes in the laws. And then it gets back to what I told Dan, that, you know, we have a 110-year history of the basic antitrust laws. Now, there's been a few changes, like the Rodino Act of 1976 is an example that gave some modification, but that was kind of pre-approval as opposed to whether or not the merger, in other words, a pre-approval process for certain companies to go through. But the basic law has been pretty much stayed the same. It's been pretty consistently enforced and interpreted by the Supreme Court. So I don't see that changes in laws are the basic problem. What it is enforcement. And you know, between the Clinton administration and the Bush administration, I didn't see a lot of difference when it come to agriculture. So I don't think it's a matter of the politics of it either. It's an attitude in justice of not really understanding agriculture. And then I have proposed legislation from one standpoint, and that is that the extent to which a farmer is a consumer of input products as well as a producer, that we ought to take into consideration the fact that the original antitrust laws were written just to protect consumers. They weren't written to protect jobs. They weren't written to protect one company from another company. They were there to protect the consumer. And the extent to which in these agriculture mergers, it's not a case of just a farmer having a place to sell his product. It's a case of giving some consideration to the fact that the farmer is a consumer of inputs.
Gene Simmet. Phil Brasher. Okay, I've read through the entire list. Did anyone get added late or have a follow-up?
This is Gene Lute.
Yeah, Gene.
I think the Senator, I think with your last comment, you mostly answered this, but you mentioned obviously the question of the farmer as a consumer. That's been a long-standing kind of concern there. Is that a case of the way the law is written, or is that just an interpretation from justice, really, at this point?
Well, I've been looking at some change in legislation, so all of those folks that have said that I'm satisfied with, I mean, I may have led you to believe that I'm entirely satisfied with the way the law is written over, for most of it, for the protection of the consumer, I think that's right. But the extent to which a producer is a consumer of additional, or a producer is a consumer of input products, then I think that has to be taken into consideration, and I'm not sure that the original antitrust laws do that. Now, that could be a case of interpretation as well, or enforcement by the Department of Justice, and I have not reached a final conclusion on that yet. Now, maybe you could get, if you're really interested in pursuing that, Jill could get Rita on the phone and talk to you in some detail about that. Okay, anybody else? Okay. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Senator.
Bye-bye.